All right, so we're continuing in the middle of Nunvav Gaze, two lines from the end of the middle of the middle side line, two lines above the widest line. So we said Aspasianus was going to go back to Rome to become the emperor. Also Shadri Latitus, so he went and sent Titus to take over. And Titus, sure enough, ended up conquering Yerushalayim and destroying the Beit Hamikdash. The Pasuk says in Hazinuv, Omar Eyal Ekemer, he will say, where is their God? Tzuch HaSoyuboy, the rock that they put their trust in. What does this mean? Zet Titus HaRosha, this is referring to what Titus HaRosha said, Shechirif Fegirif Klapimayla. He mocked and blasphemed against the Eivishter, like saying, where is their God? Like, Chas V'Shalom, like, he can't protect us.
Which
he, right, well, he didn't get as far as the conquest, actually.
He was
but, yeah.
more respectful.
Yeah, I guess that's, yeah. Ma also, incidentally, a couple of Ben Yehoyada, also of Levites, each in their own way, point out that the name Titus has another word tit, which means mud, showing what kind of a low-down character he was. Well, we can say Machshava on Titus. Yeah, no reason why not. Ma'al, so what did he do? Tofas Zona B'yodah, he grabbed a Zona by the hand, v'nichnas l'beis kodesh ha'kodeshim, he went into the kodesh ha'kodeshim, v'itziyah sefer Torah, he spread out a sefer Torah on the floor, v'over alei aveda, and he lay on that and then did an aveda with his Zona. Ma'aral talks about the idea that he was trying to show that there's two ways in which we relate, the two ways that are both in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that show the love and the relationship between the Eidishter and the Jewish people, the Luchos that are in the Aron, the six parishes, the Luchos that are in the Aron, representing the Torah, and the Kruvim, which hug each other like husband and wife, so therefore to go against that, he brings in a Sefer Torah, and he brings in a Zona, going against those two things. He took a sword and slashed the Parochus. The Ness happened. And blood started trickling out of it. So Titus thought he had killed himself, meaning a euphemism. He thought he had killed the Eivishter, Chas V'Shalom. The Pasuk says, Your enemies, the ones who cause you trouble, are screaming, shagulu, means like they roar, like lions, the kerev mayadecha, in the place of your moyed, in the Beit HaMikdash, the place of appointment, the place that's appointed for the Eivishter and the Jewish people to meet. They made their symbols to be symbols, which means Rashi says they made their symbol. Who could this blood be from? It must be from Kaviyachol, from the Eivishter. Maybe, but maybe not. We could talk about this a long time, but for example, consider the pasuk in Yeshaya, Hoy Goy Chote, and Rav Levi Yitzchak Ben Ditchever's famous explanation of it, the positive way, Hoy Goy Chote is cleansing people, and Kevadovin, and people from whom it's hard to sin, etc. But besides that, also these things could have all happened in Ruchniyistika levels. I mean, in many places in Siddhis, it talks about not so much Sukkim from Tillim, it talks about in terms of Sukkim in Chumash also. What about Sukkim about the Chet Egel, for example? If the Jewish people had never made an eagle or never done these various other avodas, what would be written in the Torah? The same words might have been written, but they'd have a completely different meaning. They would mean something completely different than the past meaning on which we understand them. Yeah. Abachonon says there's another pasuk that refers to this. Pasuk says, Mikam also from Tillim, Mikamocha Chasin Ka. Who is like you, the mighty one? Chasin means like the one who Rashi's in the Sapik, like he holds himself back. Who is like you, the Eivishter, who holds himself back? Meaning, Mikamocha Chasin the Kasha, who is able to hold himself back and who's strong, Shata Shemen, Niutzi Vigidufa, Shalai Tarasha, that you hear. That's true. That you hear the blasphemy and the angering of this Rosh of a Shosik, and yet you're quiet. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana and the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught another pasuk that refers to this, Mi Kamocha Ba'elim Hashem, who is like you among the powerful Hashem, which we dash Mi Kamocha Ba'ilmim, who is like you among the mute. Kaviyachol Hashem is holds himself back with power to not say anything, even though by rights he should. The fact that he didn't do anything to Titus right there on the spot shows how what self control, so to speak, the Eivishter has. Actually, in Chassidus, it talks about the Goyim have less free will than Jews, because after all, the Torah was created for the sin of the world was created for the Torah of Yisrael. The Goyim have sort of a backdrop there. He could have, like Nero did, yeah.
Or he overdid it.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, he still deserves his punishment. But right now, we're not focusing on that. Right now, we're focusing on this part of the Gemara is focusing on the Eibishter, by any rights, by any logic, should have struck him dead on the spot. The fact that he didn't shows how much self-control the Eibishter has, that what has to be done has to be done.
And yet, for the two sons of Aaron who brought the incense,
Bikroi by Akkadesh, the Eibishter makes an example of Tzadikim more than the Rishayim. The Rishayim will get there as an Elam Haba, as we'll see later, Titus in this case got his an Elam Haba as well, but yeah.
To show that
when it comes to tzaddikim, don't think that tzaddikim get off easy. Don't think. I mean, they, you know, yeah, don't think that. Not even Avihu. They're changing things around, and they get self scot-free.
Titus Rishayim should deserve a priest.
Okay, but and Titus got his punishment. But the point is, if Avihu didn't do it right there on the spot, yeah. So what did he do? Not all the parochas. He took the parochas, which Marshall says he took the parochas to be able to show off in Rome. Look, all this blood that came out from it. Look, you know, yeah. Look what I claim that means. But so he committed gagusni. He made it like a basket. He bunched up the sides of it. Second. This is the same.
And there were kruvim?
No, there weren't. But what I was saying before about Maral saying about the Oren and the kruvim is not that there was an actual Oren and kruvim there, but that's. No, there may have been the pictures on the walls, that's true, but we're not even getting into that. It's more that the Kodesh HaKodeshim is supposed to be the place of the Aron and the Kruvim. Therefore, you have the Kodesh HaKodeshim represents those two aspects of the closeness that the Jewish people have with the Eibishter. So even the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no actual Aron, no actual Kruvim, but the concept still exists. And then Titus, I mean, not necessarily consciously, if you ask Titus why you bring in the Sefer Torah, why you bring in the Zohar, would he have said it's because I'm trying to go against the Aron and the Kruvim? No, but the Pnimius in Yonim, you know, his neshama, or, you know, whatever you call it, a goy or whatever, you know, but Pnimius, that was what he was thinking. Not the parochas, but I saw in Gagusni. He took the parochas and made it like a basket. The hefikol kelim shem mikdash v'nichan beheni. He took all the kelim out of this mikdash and put them into the parochas. V'oshivan b'svina, and he put them all into a ship. Leilach lishtabeach v'iro, to go and get praise and to have a triumph and a whole parade in the city. Shenan, this is the famous Orch of Titus that has the kelim of the mikdash, supposedly the kelim of the mikdash shown on it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "V'chein ra'isi rishoyim kvurim," and so I've seen. Shlomo HaMelech says, "I've seen rishoyim who are buried." Uva'u, we'll explain soon what the pasuk means. Uva'u, and they come. U'mimakim kodesh yahalechu, they come from a holy place. V'yishtakchu ba'ir ashakein osu, and they've forgotten in the city about what they accomplished. What does this mean? Al tikri kvurim ela kvutzim. First of all, instead of kvurim, which is buried, read kvutzim, gathered. So first of all, Marsha points out the word kvurim, actually, in Aramaic, the word kibura means a cluster, like kibura dahini means a cluster of dates. Therefore, we can darshan the word kvurim as the equivalent of kvutzim, gathered. Also, other mephoshim talk about resh and sadik are both pronounced from the same part of the mouth. They're both pronounced with the teeth by the lips, apparently, because we're talking about a resh, like a rolled one like that, and that's similar in that sense to a sadik, so therefore they can be exchanged. And I'll tell you, v'yishtakhu ela v'yishtabhu. Don't read v'yishtakhu, they're forgotten, but v'yishtabhu, they're praised. So therefore, rereading the pasuk like that, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, look how the Eibishter runs the world, and we don't even understand it, that you see Rishoyim, who are gathered together, they come from a holy place, like Titus, who came from a holy place, having destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, and he goes and gets praised in the city, in the city of Rome, for what he accomplished. The ikdam is kvurim mamash. Others say you can use the word kvurim, you can leave it as is, meaning buried. Means after the milijim, a tamarin and a garilah. It means even things that were buried in the ground were revealed to these Roman conquerors, and they were able to take those as spoils as well. As he's on the ship, Amad Olav Nachshel Shabayam Latoy, a storm brewed up against the ship and was threatening to drown him. And before I should say, this was similar to what happened with the ship with Yonah on it, where only his ship is affected by the storm and other ships are sailing normally. They realize something's going on over here. Omar, he says, Kimiduma and Isha, the cave Shalelu, and Gurdas Elabamayim. Looks like the god of these people only has power in water. But Pare Tibabamayim, if Pare came along and he drowned him in water, but Sisra Tibabamayim, Sisra came along and he drowned him in water, Afu Emidalai, the Tevenimamayim, and now he's coming to drown me in water. And Marsha points out, he's not beside that. He said beside that he's claiming such a thing that the Eidrishter Kavyachal only has power in water. He's doing on top of that. He's saying, what about the marvel? By the marvel, the Eidrishter promised he's never going to destroy the world with water again. Looks like ever since then, there's a different god in the world. He promised he won't use water anymore, and now, since then, he uses water. Marsha says that that's what Tiffus was saying. In Giberu, if he's really powerful, Yala Leabosha, let him come on dry land, let him fight with me there. Yotzabasko v'amrloisa, Basko came out and said to him, Rosha ben Noshal Ace of a Rosha, you Rosha, the son of a Rosha, the descendant of Ace of the Rosha. Very Akala Yeshli Bolomi, I have a very cheap creature, what?
Puny,
that's a good, yeah, puny creature in my world, the Yatr Shmar, it's called a gnat. And the Gemara interjects, am I Torah Liberia? Yatr is a gnat, a mosquito, yeah, mosquito, a gnat, whatever, yeah. Am I Torah Liberia, pal? The Gemara interjects, by the way, why is it called a puny creature? The Ma'alna Islo Ma'pachna Leisla, it has an inlet, but not an outlet. It takes in, but it doesn't produce any waste. So in various places in the Chassidus, it talks about the reason why it's a very Akala, like it does, it's a creature that doesn't even contribute anything to the world. At least an animal that produces waste, at least in that sense, it's sort of contributing to the world. A gnat or a mosquito, whatever it is like it's so low down, it's so far away from Kedusha that it won't give anything, not even its waste. That's the point. That's the point. In other words, that in that sense, the Beria Kala, it's like it represents the ultimate. Like Kedusha is something that gives. Kedusha is giving. A Yatush is the polar opposite of that, which only takes and never gives. Sam Sofer, by the way, says an interesting thing about it in one of his Drushas. He says another idea of it is what it means. In other words, therefore, that everything that a gnat or a mosquito takes in, it's able to absorb, it's able to use. Therefore, in that sense, it can be used as a metaphor for the Torah, which also, everything in it is valuable and there's no waste in it. The power of Torah is what can destroy the tetrises of the world, as the Gemara will say, that the gnat got into his brain. So Aleli Yabasha, so the Eberster says to teachers, go up onto land, the Tasa Imam Mohammed, and try to fight with this gnat. All the Abasha, so he goes up onto dry land, a gnat comes in and gets in and goes into his nose, and it got into his brain, and it started pecking away at his brain for 7 years. Tosfos, by the way, points out a detail in Halacha. You would think that should make him a treifa. How does a person survive such a thing for 7 years? An animal, if the membranes of its brain have a hole in them, the animal dies within 12 months. Tosfos says maybe it didn't make a hole in the membrane since it got in through the nose, maybe it was able to go directly to the brain, or the traits of animals and the traits of people are not always identical. You can have something which is fatal in animals and not in people, or vice versa. Yeah, that's another explanation also, yeah. Yoim Echad have a kacholif ha-baba de be'nap. One day, Titus was passing by a blacksmith shop. Shomakol Azafter, he heard the sound of a hammer. Ishtik, the gnat, that is, heard the sound of the hammer, and it was quiet. It's stunned into silence by the sound of the hammer. Omar,
the mosquito.
Omar, so Titus says to himself, oh, Yika Takanta, good, there's a way of fixing the situation. Kol Yoim Maisu Napo Mochu Kamez. From then on, every day, they would bring a blacksmith to the palace, and the blacksmith would bang on his anvil in front of Titus.
Maybe.
If the blacksmith that day was a goy, he would give him 4 zuz as pay. L'Yisrael Amalei, if it was Yisrael, they would tell him, I'm not going to pay you. It's enough pay for you. You should consider it enough payment that you're getting your enemy's punishment. Me, in other words. Interesting, by the way, Roman historians have very positive things to say about Titus. They say he was such a nice guy as emperor. He was kind, this, that, the other. What is it? If he had a gnat pecking away in his brain, then he didn't have the ability to be mean. He's too busy with that. Okay. He just worked up to 30 days. Given the dosh. Eventually, then the mosquito got used to the noise, and it still continued pecking away at his brain regardless. Interesting, by the way, they say a verse. This is one reason we don't blow shofar erev Rosh Hashanah. Because if we did, we would have 30 days in succession blowing shofar from the first day of Rosh Chodesh until erev Rosh Hashanah. Then by the time it comes Rosh Hashanah, we wouldn't be as impressed. We wouldn't be as moved by the sound of the shofar anymore. Therefore, we need a break off. for many different things. Tanya, we learn advice. Amar Pinchas ben Aruba, Ani ha'yisi ben G'doli Romi. I was there among the great people of Rome. When Titus died, Potsuus Mocha, they cracked open his head. They found in it something like the size of a sparrow, or a sparrow or some other kind of small bird, the weight of 2 sloim, a couple of ounces. Meaning that the compassionate means this gnat had grown in size all the time that's eating away at his brain. Maral talks about the symbolism of it, about two, and a bird representing the Jewish people, etc. In a braisa we learned that it was actually kegozel ben shana. It was like a young pigeon, a year old, or even larger than the tzipperdur. Mishkel shnei litrin, which weighed not 2 sloim, like we said before, but 2 litrin, about 2 pounds. Amar Abaye, naktinan, we have the Kabbalah that pib shal mechoshes is the point of shal barzel. This bird-like creature, which is a gnat, that's swollen up gnat, had a mouth of copper, a beak of copper, and claws of iron. Showing, in other words, what an effect it had, gnawing away at Titus in there. Ki habakamayis, when Titus was dying, omelahu, he says to them, l'kluyu alahu gavra, take this person, meaning me, and burn the body, v'levadre l'kitme ashev yami, and go scatter the ashes across the 7 seas, v'levishkechei l'kod yurdoi v'leik mevedin, in order that the Jewish God should not find me and bring me to justice.
Why should he put it on the seas? It doesn't make sense.
Because didn't he say before that Hashem has power in the seas?
Right.
So a couple of Mefarshim talk about that. One of them says very simple. He figured that once a person's dead, then the Abishah can't do anything to him. So yes, he has power in the seas, but not over Asher. He didn't realize that, of course, that's wrong, as the next part of the Gemara will tell, but we'll leave the next part for tomorrow. One real quick, a couple of interesting things I saw, going back to the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, a couple of interesting halachas that come out of that story. One of them is there's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Suppose a person wants to make his house into a shul. Suppose though also there's one person in town who he doesn't like and he wants to not allow him to use that as a shul. Is he able to do that? There's a chedim d'Rabben Gershim that no. The only way to do that is if you ask for it for everybody. Why? Based on the story, in order not to embarrass the guy publicly, like Bar Kamsa was embarrassed in public. Another interesting halacha because it's your own private house, you have the right to say who can go into your house and not. But if you make it into a shul where it's available for the tzibur, then not. But another interesting halacha that comes out of this, in the Mishnah it says that on Shabbos, there's a rule called, on Shabbos you're not allowed to read shtorei hedyotis. You're not allowed to read a common, everyday, weekday type reading material. One of them is, therefore, that if you have people invited to a party, you're not allowed to read the names of the guests off a list, off a written list. The Gemara talks about it if they're written on a wall. It's called Shorei Gyotis also. The Gemara talks you can do it verbally, or the Gemara talks about if they're written on a wall, whatever.
About people reading the Jewish press.
And that's not so simple, but anyway. So, however, in Shulchan Aruch it says that nowadays when people make parties and they have their attendants read off the list, so they talk about it. How taka does that fit with this halacha? So one of the first on Shulchan Aruch says, because of the story, because you see what happened over here, the whole problem developed because somebody came who wasn't on the list. So therefore, allow him to read the list, to read it off a list on Shabbat in order to avoid mishaps like that ever again.